From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins with this news update. Regional ferry service will remain shut down until at least March. That's following news that the last marine ferry is being towed to Ketchikan for inspection and repairs. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, the only other ship available for relief has been laid up for budgetary reasons.
The Port of Bellingham's Marine Terminals Manager Dave Warder got an email from the Alaska Marine Highway System earlier in the day. He's in Juneau for Southeast Conference.
They just said the sailing's through February, so I'm not sure when the boat would actually. I don't think they know, but right now, so my staff in Bellingham's contacting all the customers that are traveling northbound. The ferry's been canceled through February.
Since the Matanuska broke down 2 weeks ago, some 20 passengers with vehicles have been camped in staterooms as engineers try to repair the ship docked in Juneau's Auk Bay. It was supposed to sail later this week. But Wednesday morning, travel agents and passengers alike heard about the change in plans.
We're getting calls from the terminals in Washington and here in Alaska about rescheduling of passengers that have bookings.
Dave Berg co-owns Viking Travel in Petersburg, which arranges tickets for passengers and freight on the Alaska Marine Highway System.
There's no other vessels that can take its place that they could put online quickly enough to make a difference.
So aside from the tiny Lituya, which shuttles between Ketchikan and Metlakatla, there's no other vessel in service. All are either being overhauled or tied up for budget reasons. One of those mainliners is the Malaspina. The state pulled her out of service in December. At the time, transportation officials said the 57-year-old vessel would soon need $16 million in steelwork. The decision to leave the marine highway system without a backup alarmed ferry workers.
We tried for a very long time to try and see what we could do to keep at least one vessel in some sort of ready reserve status.
Shannon Adamson heads the Alaska branch of Masters, Mates, and Pilots Union, which represents deck officers.
And due to budgetary issues, we were told that anything that is currently tied up down in Ketchikan is tied up for a specific reason, and they don't have the budget to be able to keep anything in a ready reserve status.
And she says the decision to further save money by not assigning a maintenance crew worried engineers. She says her union and the Maritime Engineers Beneficial Association, that's the engineers union, strongly recommended putting the ship in warm layup.
It is keeping the equipment on board, exercised and working, and keeping at least a few crew members on board to make sure something like this specifically didn't happen.
Something like this is damage from rainwater that burst through scuppers and flooded staterooms. There's concern that getting her back in service now could be even more complicated. Some lawmakers are concerned over the fate of the fleet. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman said Tuesday that the legislature never signed off on letting the Malaspina go.
That is a concern because the legislature hasn't stepped in with a policy call on what they feel is appropriate use of state funds and federal funds in refurbishing old ships versus buying new.
The ferry's budget was cut by $43 million last year, but Stedman says the budget compromised was with the understanding that vessels would be maintained and minimum service would persist through the winter.
We were expecting 285 weeks of service and service throughout the winter at a reduced rate, not no service.
No service. That's the reality until at least March, when the Matanuska is projected to have its engines repaired. Transportation officials say there just wasn't money to keep the Malaspina running as a backup. It's not just the steelwork that's a pressing need. State officials say she needs a complete repowering. The final bill could come to $41 million. That's based on recent experience.
Looking at what we just went through with the Matanuska, it went in for an 11-month overhaul, repower, and turned into 2 years and doubled the cost.
That's Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon.
The fear was that we would end up with the same thing on the Mal. So, based on what we had in budget looking forward, the decision was to tie it up.
Stedman says it's the legislature that's tasked with deciding where the state's money goes and setting policy. He says he wants the agency to be more forthcoming.
If you're not told that there are substantial maintenance needs, and they've been built up for years, and you've been asking them about their maintenance levels, and they've been saying that they're up to snuff and they're fine, when they're not, we've got a discussion coming with Marine Highway and DOT.
He says he'll be holding hearings over the state of each vessel in the Alaska Marine Highway System. Meanwhile, travel agents like Dave Berg in Petersburg are handing out refunds as passengers and freight customers make other arrangements, if they can.
It's sorry news, for sure.
It's not immediately clear how many people are affected by the extended ferry shutdown. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
And in other news, the Pebble Partnership has submitted a draft plan for reducing the open pit mines project impact on wetlands and salmon-bearing streams in Alaska's Bristol Bay region. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reported the mitigation plan published by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers includes cleaning beach debris, improving fish passage in compromised waters, and upgrading water treatment systems in area villages. Pebble expects to disrupt about 5 square miles of wetlands and water bodies. The plan indicates Pebble's first mitigation initiative is upgrading water treatment facilities in the villages. And yellow cedar grows from the northern tip of California all the way to southeast Alaska. It's a commercially valuable tree species for the timber industry, but there are fewer living trees growing across the range because of climate change. A recent study explores the business potential of harvesting the dead trees. I got the chance to look into it. Salvage logging is harvesting trees that are already dead. It sounds eco-conscious, like something that would be cataloged beside reclaimed wood. But Brian Buma thinks that's a stretch.
I have to say, I really hate that term because dead trees are just as important to ecosystems as live trees.
Buma is an ecologist with the University of Colorado. He's not totally opposed to logging, but he is concerned about the number of ways humans are contributing to yellow cedar's decline. For instance, through climate change. Normally, snow helps insulate the tree's roots, but rain combined with cold snaps can freeze yellow cedar roots, causing them to die. In total, about 7% of the species has died across its range.
So on one hand, you don't want people cutting down live yellow cedar because there's, you know, it's dying, and so we want to conserve it where it's still alive. But on the other hand, you don't want to take away a valuable resource for the community.
Like Buma, the U.S. Forest Service also wondered about this new inventory of climate change-killed trees. The region's timber industry is struggling, and there's been a long debate about whether or not the federal agency is doing enough to help it survive. Past studies indicate yellow cedar that's been dead for decades can be just as good for making stuff as living trees. The species is famous for being resistant to rot. So together, ecologists and foresters set up a task for 5 sawmills on Prince of Wales and Kupernaf Island. Buma says they wanted to know,
does this dead stuff work as well in practice as it seems to, you know, on paper, and just see how it goes.
Kevin Mary participated in this experiment. He's the owner of Kupernaf Lumber and Design, a small mill which runs on a shoestring budget.
Put all kinds of knots in that shoestring to actually be able to do it.
The Forest Service handled the fees for harvesting the dead yellow cedar, and Mary cut the trees along the road and cake himself. He says the trees were spread out, so harvesting them was labor and time intensive. And some of the yellow cedar was too degraded to mill. But Mary was able to find markets.
At that time, I sent a little bit of it down to the guy in Florida making turkey calls. Some more of it was used by some wood carvers. Some of it ended up being firewood.
In the end, Mary's costs were higher than his gross revenue. But of the 5 mills in this experiment, 3 of them actually did okay. Brian Buma from before says the results were kind of a mixed bag. Still, it proves you can make money on a species of dying trees.
It's not like this is going to suddenly support a bunch of new jobs. You know, this is just sort of a way to protect the species while doing some damage, but not a ton of damage to the ecosystem.
And Buma thinks that might be the marketing key to creating a high-value product. For example, beetle-killed pine found in western parts of the United States has gained in popularity. Why not climate change-killed wood? If that's the story of our time, some people might want to own a piece of it.
I think it's interesting. I got laughed at when I told some of the folks in Southeast. They thought that was silly.
But Buma says he would be a potential customer, and there's at least one small sawmill in the region that makes guitar tops from salvaged trees. They've even used dead yellow cedar for that, but they currently don't have any plans to expand that part of their business. And in other news, a 4th suspect in the killing of a Palmer teenager has pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. KTUU Television reports 22-year-old Austin Barrett changed his plea Wednesday in the death of David Grunwald. In November 2016, Grunwald was severely beaten with a pistol, driven to a remote location in the neck arm, and shot in the head. 3 others, Alec Almendanger, Dominique Johnson, and Bradley Renfro, were convicted by juries of first-degree murder. Barrett is scheduled to be sentenced in October. He faces up to 45 years in prison and 10 years of probation. And taking a quick look at the weather for the rest of today, it's 37 degrees in the capital city right now. For tonight, showers are expected and lows around 37. For tomorrow, isolated showers and highs near 39. You're listening to KTOO.